الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على سيد المرسلين أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم والصلاة والسلام عليك يا رسول الله وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا حبيب الله والصلاة والسلام عليك يا نبي الله وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا نور الله. Honorable brothers in attendance, viewers of Madani channel, there are countless virtues of reciting salawat ala nabi, peace and blessings upon the best of creation, our hope for salvation, our intercessor, our master Sayyiduna Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. In At-Targhib wa At-Tarhib we have a narration wherein Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam stated, Man salla alayya fi yawmin alfa marra. Whoever is successful in reciting salat upon me 1,000 times in a day, lam yamut hatta yara maq'adahu min al-jannah. This person who recites salat ala nabi 1,000 times in a day will not die, will not pass away until he sees his maqam, his place in Jannah. So it goes without saying that reciting salawat ala nabi, reciting durood sharif, is an action of paradise. It's an action that leads one to paradise. Otherwise, what would this hadith mean? That a person sees his place in paradise but does not go? Of course, it does not mean that. It means that a person will see that place and he will enter as well. So inshallah, try and recite durood sharif in abundance. And according to this hadith, try and make an effort to recite durood sharif at least 1,000 times in a day. May Allah Ta'ala grant us divine aid in this regard. Sallu ala al-habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Intentions are very important in Islam. On the Day of Judgment, some people will find good deeds written in their book which they did not actually perform. Upon inquiring, they will be told that although you did not do this action in the dunya, you had the good intention to do it, but you were just not able to do it. Allah Ta'ala, through His mercy, has granted you the reward of that action because of your pious intention. Therefore, always make good intentions, inshallah al-kareem. Let's make the intention that we are listening to this bayan solely for the pleasure of Allah Azza wa Jal, inshallah. Also make the intention that whatever you hear, you will try your utmost to remember it, to act upon it, and to spread this sacred knowledge to others as well. We should not be stingy in this regard. That when we hear something, we benefit from something, Quran, Hadith, a waqia, an account of the pious predecessors, we should be eager to act upon it ourselves and to convey that to others as well, so that they can also act upon it, they can also benefit. And it's a win-win situation. You'll be rewarded for spreading that knowledge and for them acting upon it as well. Like this, whenever you get an opportunity to do a good deed, try and make many good intentions beforehand to multiply your rewards, inshallah. As Muslims, Allah Ta'ala has blessed us with numerous bounties, numerous blessings. Obviously, Iman, our greatest blessing. And if we value our Iman, we cherish our Iman, inshallah, we will enter Jannah. From the other blessings that Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala has granted us through His beloved Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, one of the greatest blessings is the divine scripture, Al-Quran Al-Kareem. Al-Quran Al-Kareem is the word of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It's not an ordinary book. It's something that we should keep close to our heart. We should cherish, we should value, we should read on a daily basis. So, let's make an intention, inshallah, that every single day of our lives, whatever remains of our life, we will try to recite some portion of Al-Quran Al-Kareem, inshallah. Whether that's one ruku', whether that's one page, whatever is easy for you. and to motivate us, to encourage us. Inshallah, let's hear about the fadail of the Quran, the virtues of the Quran. And the reality is, because this is the speech of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the virtues are limitless, endless. The Quran is an overflowing ocean of knowledge, of hikmah, of wisdom. And it is true what the Salihin have said, that jami'ul ulumi fil Quran lakin, all sciences can be found and derived from Al Quranul Kareem. However, taqasara anhu afhamur rijal. What happens is we as human beings fall short in extracting those pearls and wisdoms from the Quran. And whoever Allah blesses, they are able to derive those pearls and wisdom. Look at the Mufassireen, the Quranic commentators. They've written volume after volume after volume regarding the various surahs of the Quran, the juz of the Quran, chapters of the Quran. They were able to do that. Until Qiyamah, Allah Ta'ala will continue sending certain people, will continue blessing certain people in this way, that they'll be able to benefit greatly from the Quran. But as common Muslims, as laymen, we should try and study tafsir. We should try and study Al-Quran Al-Kareem to benefit as much as possible, inshallah. Firstly, let's begin with an account. And this was an account that took place in the life of Sayyiduna Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And it highlights the power of the Quran. The Quran is very powerful. Today, when we look for cures for our problems, we look everywhere except the Quran. If we truly value the Quran, if we truly use the Quran as shifa, we would attain shifa. If we use the Quran to resolve our matters and difficulties, it would. But we look everywhere besides the Quran. Listen to this account. Sayyiduna Abu Sa'id Khudri radiyallahu ta'ala narrates. He says, one night, a companion by the name of Sayyiduna Usaid bin Hudayr radiyallahu ta'ala, he was reciting the Holy Quran near his animal, near his horse. The horse was tied up. He was reciting the Quran. All of a sudden, his horse started to jump. What did he do? He started the recitation of the Quran again, and the horse did as before. It began to jump. Now, the same thing happened a third time. He's reciting the Quran. The horse is jumping. And he's eager to know, why is this the case? Why is my horse doing this? So what happened? Sayyiduna Usaid bin Hudayr radiallahu anhu says, I was afraid that my horse may trample my son nearby. His son was nearby and he was afraid that his own son would be trampled by the horse. So what did he do? He says, I went towards the horse and saw that a canopy containing shining lamps had cast a shadow over my head, and then it became lost in the sky and disappeared from my sight. In the morning, his companion went to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and he mentioned what he had witnessed, how whenever he recited the Quran, the horse began to jump. When he did this a total of 3 times, he began to fear that the horse might trample his son. So he went towards the horse. What did he see? He saw a canopy, and that contained shining lamps, and that canopy cast a shadow over my head, and then it became lost in the sky and disappeared from my sight. He mentioned all of this to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam replied and said, they were angels of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, malaika, who came to listen to your recitation of the Quran. And had you continued to recite Al-Quranul Kareem, the people would have seen them in the morning and none of them would have remained concealed. No angels would have remained hidden anymore. This hadith is found in the Sahih of Imam Muslim. Look at the power of the Quran. When you recite the Quran, the angels come down to the earth. And Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that if you had continued reciting the Quran, this is what he said to his sahabi, if you had continued it and you hadn't stopped it, and he mentioned why he stopped it, he feared that the horse might trample his son. But the Prophet ﷺ said, if you had continued reciting, the angels would have filled the earth. And in the morning, people would have witnessed the angels. What do we learn? The Al-Quran al-Kareem has such efficacy, has such power, has such strength, that the angels come down to listen to Al-Quran al-Kareem. The innocent angels of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now, why wouldn't this be the case when we recite the Quran in our homes, in our gatherings? But ask yourselves, have we recited the Quran? Every single day we will give a certain amount of time to social media. Every single day we will give time to our personal projects. Every single day we will give time to WhatsApp, messaging. That we cannot even open the Quran, the tawfiq is not there. And remember, not having tawfiq to recite Al-Quran al-Kareem is a great devastation in the life of a Muslim. Today, our youngsters, they look up to celebrities, actors and actresses. Many a times they're not even Muslims. But let's say, for example, they are Muslims. Certain people with certain lifestyles are glorified. They've got wealth, they've got flashy lifestyles, they live in luxury. But ask yourselves, do those people recite the Quran daily, who our youngsters look up to? Day and night they follow them. They're anticipating their latest video upload. Not having the tawfiq to recite the Quran is a great calamity in the life of a Muslim. That I cannot open the book of Allah and I cannot read Al-Quran al-Kareem. What greater calamity and affliction is there than that? I can open my phone 5 hours, 6 hours usage every single day. I can speak to friends, acquaintances every day. Laziman, necessarily. But I do not have the himmah, the tawfiq to open Al-Quran al-Kareem, then that's a great calamity. These are things that we do not prioritize. Every day goes by, we don't think of it as a massive thing. Remember, every single day that goes by without reciting Al-Quran al-Kareem is a day that will never ever come back. We cannot do anything to make that day come back. It's not possible. Therefore, reciting the Quran is a must in the life of a Muslim. And more important, is to act upon the Quran, as we will hear as well. Let's listen to a few narrations in this regard. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, on Yawm al-Qiyamah, a Quran reciter will come, and the Holy Quran will speak and say, O Allah Azza wa Jal, clothe him in heavenly attire. Give him jannati libas. So he will be made to wear a heavenly attire of nobility. Then the Quran will say, O Allah Almighty, increase it. Then he will be made to wear the crown of nobility. Then the Quran will request, O Allah, be pleased with him. Allahu Akbar. Allah Almighty will become pleased with him. Then it will be said to the reciter of the Quran, continue reciting the Quran and keep ascending the ranks of Jannah, and he will be given one bounty for every verse he recites. Subhanallah. This is reward that lies in wait for whom? The Qari of the Quran, the reciter of the Quran, someone who valued the recitation of the Quran more than he valued other things. Listen to another narration. The Prophet ﷺ said, Allah Almighty removes calamities from the one who listens to the Holy Quran and removes calamities of the hereafter from the one who recites it. Listening to one verse of the Holy Quran is even greater than the treasure of gold. Reciting one of its verses is superior to everything that exists beneath the arsh of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This hadith is in the Musnad, Musnad al-Firdaus. And this hadith, sarahatan, clearly, explicitly, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam said, if you want your calamities to be relieved, what do? You listen to the Holy Quran. If you want your calamities of the akhirah to be removed, what do? You read the Quran. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, listening to one verse of Al-Quran al-Kareem, one verse, is even greater than a treasure of gold. Now here, let's ponder. How many times when we're scrolling through social media, a video comes up where one verse is normally recited, one or two verses. But rather than listen to it, we skip it. We move on to the next video. Because at that time, we convince ourselves, oh, I don't have full concentration, my heart's not there, I'll be listening to it as a formality. Allahu Akbar. The ulama of Islam say, in terms of good deeds, you have to do jabr, you have to force and compel yourself. It doesn't just happen automatically. You'll wake up one day and you'll be able to listen to the Quran day and night. You have to force yourself to do good deeds. Put yourself in that position, just like we do with everything else. And here, look at the incentive. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told us in no uncertain terms that our priorities are wrong. We value gold, right? Somebody, if they came to you with a treasure box of gold, you would take it in an instant. You wouldn't hesitate. You'd think, whoa, with that I can buy this, I can do this. But Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, listening to one verse of the Quran is even greater than a treasure of gold. And reciting one of its verses is superior to everything beneath the arsh. So where do our priorities lie? What do we value? What do we give superiority to? If it's the Quran, alhamdulillah. If it's other than that, then we should pray to Allah to be given tawfiq to understand the great rank and status of Al-Quranul Kareem. The third narration, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, the one who recites one letter of the book of Allah Almighty will receive one good deed that will be equal to 10. I do not say that Alif Lam Mim is one letter. Rather, Alif is one letter, Lam is one letter, and Mim is one letter. This is what the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said in Sunan al-Tirmidhi. So, imagine if you recite a surah of the Quran every day, outside of Salah. You recite Surah Yasin, Surah Mulk. How many letters are going to be found in that surah? Thousands. And here, for every letter, we're told that a person attains 10 good deeds. Why wouldn't we recite it day and night? Why wouldn't we install Quran apps on our phone? We've got every other app. Have we got a Quran app? If you've got a Quran app, how often do we visit that Quran app? How often do we open it? How often do we read it? And this excuse, maybe in the dunya, we convince people and say, I haven't got time, brother. I'm very, very busy, very engaged, a lot of commitments. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows how we spend our time, where our hours on a daily basis go. So reciting the Quran is very, very important. And those who recited the Quran, subhanallah, thousands of years, hundreds of years after they've gone, they'll still be remembered. Look at the example of Sayyiduna Thabit Bunani, rahmatullahi alayhi, a tabi'i, someone who saw the Sahaba radiyallahu anhum ajma'in. He used to complete the entire Quran once daily. Entire Quranul Kareem. He, rahmatullahi alayhi, would observe fast during the day and worship for the entire night. He, rahimahullah, would offer 2 units of salah, tahiyatul masjid, in every masjid he would pass by. And with the intention of publicizing this divine favor upon him, he, rahmatullahi alayhi, said, I have completed the Holy Quran and made dua to Allah next to every pillar of the Jami' Masjid. And he had a specific love for Salah, an attachment to the Quran that we should aspire to as well. So much so that when people would go by his grave, they would walk by it, they could hear the recitation of Al-Quranul Kareem taking place. Sayyiduna Thabit Bunani Rahmatullahi Alayhi, a great ranking tabi'i from this ummah. And it didn't come easily, this maqam, that people are passing by your grave, they're hearing recitation of the Quran. This is because he internalized the hadith regarding the virtues of the Quran. He heard them, and then he acted upon them. He heard the hadith of the Prophet ﷺ, that the most superior act of worship for my ummah is what? Recitation of Al-Quran Al-Kareem. He listened to it, he didn't just forget it. He acted upon it as well. This is why we mention him today. Another one of our righteous elders, Sayyiduna Shaykh Bahauddin Zakariya Multani Rahmatullahi Alayhi. Once he said to his companions who were sitting there, who among you will offer 2 rak'at tonight and recite the entire Quran in those 2 rak'at? Nobody got up. So he himself stood. He recited in the first rak'at the entire Quran with an additional 4 juz. Four parts of the Quran. And in the second rak'at, he recited Fatiha, Surah Ikhlas, and completed his salah. So he was encouraging his companions, competing with them in righteous deeds. This is fine. This is permissible. This is encouraged in Islam. Fastabiqul khairat. What does the Quran tell us? That if you want to compete with one another, then compete in doing good deeds. Today we have got it completely wrong, the opposite. We'll compete in bank balances, status, maqam in society, connections, being linked up, these kind of things. But here we have an example of one of our righteous predecessors, rahimahumullah ta'ala, who was competing with fellow Muslims in what? In reciting Al-Quran Al-Kareem. And he practically showed and recited the Quran in two rak'at of salah. Yes, this is difficult for most of us. Most are not huffaz. But the effort should be made to recite something. Recite of the Quran daily. Let's listen to what the Sahaba, their love for the Quran. How much would they recite Al-Quran Al-Kareem? Mufti Ahmad Yar Khan Naimi Rahmatullahi Alayhi writes that Sayyiduna Uthman bin Affan would complete the Quran every night. One Quran every single night. Sayyiduna Dawood Alayhi Salaam, a great prophet of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he would complete the Zabur, the Psalms, in just a few minutes. The fourth Khalifa of Islam, Sayyiduna Ali bin Abi Talib, Karramallahu ta'ala wajhul kareem, would start reciting the Quran when placing one of his feet in the stirrup while mounting a horse, and would complete reciting it by the time he would have his other foot in the stirrup and be firmly sat on the saddle of the horse. Now here, the qudra of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the power is manifest. Allah can constrict time for whomsoever he likes. Allah ta'ala can prolong time for whomsoever he likes. The laws of time are under the qudra, the power of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He is the creator of time. So this shouldn't confuse someone that he is sitting on a horse, places his foot in one stirrup, and by the time he has placed his other foot in the other stirrup, he recited the Quran. How is that even possible? But for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, nothing is impossible. If you look at the waqiyah in the Quran of Sayyiduna Uzair alayhi salam, that's sufficient. How Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made him fall asleep for 100 years. And the account is lengthy, but the fruit was still fresh. The fruit that he had. So these are from the karamat. These are from the blessings of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala upon the righteous. Because of their strong connection to the Quran, Allah blessed them in these ways. And the truth is, today if we recite Al-Quran Al-Kareem, if we hold it dear to our heart, Allah will bless our time as well. People are complaining today, oh, I have a lack of barakah in my time. How do we spend time? How do we spend our day? Do we recite Quran? Do we embody the teachings of the Quran? Do we act upon the Quran? Reciting the Quran is one thing. Acting upon the Quran is a totally different thing. This is why when we read about the narrations regarding a hafiz of the Quran and how he will intercede for many people, in one narration it says 10 people from his family upon whom hellfire had become wajib. This refers to that hafiz of the Quran who is ba'amal, who is practicing. It doesn't refer to a hafiz of the Quran who abandons the teachings of the Quran, commits every haram under the sun. It doesn't apply to that person. It applies to the person who practices what he knows from the Quran and what he studied from the Quran. So in this regard, there's a narration wherein there's an account, rather, there's a tafsiri qawl by Allama Ismail Haqqi Rahmatullahi Alayh. He says that the purpose of the book of Allah Almighty is for one to fulfill the requirements of the Quran, not to merely recite the Quran in sequence with the tongue. He gives a powerful example. He says, imagine a king sends a letter to one of his ministers and he says, build a palace for me in a particular region, particular place. But that minister just takes the letter, puts it to the side, having read it. But he does not act upon the instructions, the orders of the king. When the king comes to that region, that city, and he sees that no palace was made, he will rebuke and even punish that minister and say, why did I send you letters? I sent you the letter as an order, a command, a hukum, but you never acted upon it. Allama Ismail Haqqi Rahmatullahi Alayhi in Tafsir Ruhul Bayan says, this is the example of the Quran as well. He says, Allah Ta'ala has commanded His servants in Al-Quran Al-Kareem, do this, avoid this. Offer your salah, give your zakat, perform hajj, avoid haram. But if a person reads these verses, yet he does not act upon them, then just like that other individual, the minister, who abandoned the hukam of the king and he made himself liable for punishment. This person who recites the Quran, but he does not act upon the Quran, then that Quran will be a witness against him, not for him. It's a very powerful example given by Allama Ismail Haqqi Rahmatullahi Ta'ala. Listen to what Imam Ghazali says. Allahu Akbar. Imam Ghazali Rahmatullahi Alayhi says, reciting one Quranic verse with comprehension, with understanding, with fahm, is better than reciting the entire Quran without contemplating it. Now that might come as a shock to someone. You have one person who's recited from Surah Fatiha all the way till Surah Nas. It's taken a lot of time to recite the entire Quran. But he doesn't understand a word he said, a word he recited. He doesn't understand what the Quran requires from him, demands of him. Yet you have another person who recites just one verse of the Quran, but he understands that verse of the Quran. And that will help him act upon the Quran. That's superior than reciting the entire Quran without comprehension and understanding. Imam Ghazali rahmatullahi alayhi mentions this in Ihya Ulumuddin. And the narration regarding a person who recites the Quran but does not act upon it. It states, at times a person recites a surah and the angels continue making dua of mercy for him until he recites it completely. And then on the other hand, you have a person who begins reciting a surah and the angels keep cursing him until he recites it completely. It was asked, why is that? How come one is reciting, the angels are doing dua of rahmah, mercy for him, the other person is reciting, same surah maybe, but the angels are cursing him. Why is that? The answer was given, that when a person considers the halal of the Quran to be halal, and the haram mentioned within the Quran, meaning the prohibitions, to be haram, then the angels make dua of mercy for him. Otherwise, they end up cursing such a person. What does that mean? That he reads that something is halal, but he considers it something else. He reads that in the Quran something has been prohibited, but he believes it's jais, permissible. At least that's what he shows through his a'mal, his actions. So therefore, the Quran is an amana from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It's the speech of Allah. We must try our utmost to study the Quran, read the Quran. And remember, in this day and age, when we have so much technology, we cannot give excuses. You know, back in the days, maybe centuries ago, when people had to toil in extreme heat just to earn a livelihood, put food on the table for their offspring, maybe those people would have had an excuse because of the exhaustion, because of the tiredness, because of being fatigued, they could say that by the time we reach home, by the time we've done a hard day's work, it's hard for us to read the Quran. But what do we find? Even despite that they were busy day and night, they had difficult lifestyles, they still gave time to Al-Quran Al-Karim. They still recited Al-Quran Al-Karim. Today, the opposite surah, the opposite case, where we have more ease, we have technology, we have applications, we have the internet. One click of a button, we could be reciting, listening to Al-Quran Al-Kareem. We can open a website and recite Al-Quran Al-Kareem. But the reality is that the priority is not there. Priority is not given to Al-Quran Al-Kareem. Priority is given to the dunya. And this dunya is short-lived. Every day we hear about people passing away and we often say, oh, he went too soon. What we mean by that is he lived a very short life. So we know life can be short. And even if it's, long, someone lives for 80 years, 90 years, we know the last maybe few decades of the life will be very difficult as well. A person is muhtaj, he needs someone around him day and night to care for him, right? So your peak physical fitness, when your aqal is salamat, your intelligence is sound, you have ability, you can recite, you have energy, you should make the most of that. You should prioritize Al-Quran Al-Kareem. As we heard, the Sahaba radiallahu anhum ajma'in would recite the Quran and the angels of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala would descend to hear the recitation of that Quran. If only we were able to recite the Quran as well and the angels descend when we recite too. So they bear witness for us on the Day of Judgment. And the Quran will bear witness for those who truly loved it, who implemented its teachings, who recited it. As we know, In one narration, we're told that Al-Qur'anul Kareem will intercede for the reciter on the Day of Judgment. So may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us deserving of the shafa'ah of the Qur'an. And we know about certain surahs as well. They're very powerful. Surah Mulk, for example, recite it every night. We know that Surah Mulk will come and it will save the reciter from punishment when he enters the grave. But how many of us recite it every night? We know about Surah Yasin. It's the heart of the Qur'an. Reciting it once gives you the reward of reciting. It's like reciting the Qur'an 10 times. But how many of us recite Surah Yasin? Surah Ikhlas. So many surahs of the Qur'an, so many fadail of the Qur'an as well. As the elders said, that all of the sciences are contained within the Qur'an. However, our minds fall short in comprehending the treasures that are found therein. But we must do dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to open for us the realities of the Qur'an so that we understand the deeper meanings of the Qur'an. What does Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala want from us? What is He saying to us? What is required from us as Muslims? This is the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We should hold it daily. We should hold it close to our heart. Recite it ourselves. Teach our youngsters, our children. At home as well. If you take out 5-10 minutes daily and you yourself, your children recite a portion of the Quran, how much barakah will that bring to the house? Today we complain of so many problems. We say it's magic, it's this, it's that, and the other. And nobody's doing inkar. These things exist. But if we recited Al-Quran Al-Kareem, subhanAllah, the Prophet ﷺ said that those homes wherein the Quran is not recited is like a graveyard, empty of the Quran. So inshallah, make an intention. We will recite some part of the Quran every single day, inshallah. Whether it's one page, one ruku, have that connection with the Quran, inshallah. Allah Ta'ala will bless you immensely in the dunya and more importantly in the akhirah as well. May Allah Ta'ala grant us istiqamah in reciting the Quran, studying the Quran, understanding the Quran and acting upon the Quran as well. Ameen. Bijahin Nabi Al-Ameen. Sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam.